Since the show began almost 2 years ago, A Change of Tune has highlighted some of the best up-and-coming artists out of these West Virginia hills, with podcasty chats ranging from Tyler Childers to Ona, Sean Richardson to Kyle Meadows, and beyond. But those interviews have been a bit infrequent. And since West Virginia Day is coming up, not to mention A Change of Tune's second birthday, we thought we'd do something special. 30 days, 30 brand new West Virginia music interviews that range from Morgantown alt rockers and Parkersburg singer-songwriters to West Virginia music venues and regional artist management and beyond, all of which contribute to this state's wild and wonderful music scene. And today we are chatting with 27-year-old Parkersburg singer-songwriter Corey Shields, or should I say Mid-Ohio Valley singer-songwriter. Because you might actually find him playing more often across the border in Marietta, Ohio, than in his hometown of Parkersburg, West Virginia. But why is it so hard to build a scene in that part of the Mountain State? Let's find out. You perform in Parkersburg in the Mid-Ohio Valley. Are you from the region originally?
Yeah, I was born in Charleston and... I've lived in Parkersburg all my life.
So wait a minute, you were born in Charleston. Was that a family thing?
I never actually lived there.
So you definitely don't consider yourself a Charlestonian then?
No, unfortunately, I'm not a part of the cool kids down there.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. We have really nice stuff, and you know our economy is okay, and we have really interesting music festivals. But you know, we're not all that cool. But let's just go ahead and go back to when you first moved to Parkersburg. How did you get started in music there?
See, I thought I wanted to be a drummer when I was, 9, 10. Like I remember they brought the junior high band to our elementary school, and they were like, "All right, you can, try out different instruments and things like that." And I immediately was like, "I want to play the snare drum. I want to do that." And of course, mom and dad weren't too happy with that because. The noisiest of things, and my neighbor actually was a drummer, and he gave me a snare drum, and I would sit around and, pretend like I knew what I was doing, and it just kind of, it never really went anywhere, and then I had some, family troubles, and became the angst-ridden typical teenager, and I was 13, and I found a nylon string classical guitar under my grandma's bed and started, I had no idea what I was doing, but I thought, well, this might be cool. This is what all the cool kids do. All the cool kids play guitar. So I would, I proved myself enough to where my grandmother just let me have it. And, kind of went from there. I finally got an electric. My mom bought me an electric guitar for my 14th birthday. It was just, one of those $100, nothing special, but I still have the guitar. I kept it. I just can't, I'm one of those sentimental types. I can't get rid of things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of moved from there and spent every penny that I could through high school buying all kinds of gear and things like that. And then, I was in bands in high school and wanted to be the whole rock star thing. And I guess I never really died.
Well, but you're not really, your music right now isn't rock music. So what changed between the time you were in high school until now, where now your music, I would say, is a little bit more folky, country Americana-like?
Honestly, nothing changed because, nothing changed because that was always the type of music I was listening to, but I mean, I'm, 15, 16-year-old kid. I'm like, no, I have heavy metal, for days. I still do. I love all kinds of music, but I still listen to metal and things like that. But I always always had this love of pop music, especially like Justin Timberlake. Was just
me too.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know all about the NSYNC thing and all that. I mean, it's just, it's hooks. I don't care what kind of music it is. I love a really good hook. And I mean, and you know, metal doesn't offer that a lot, but I was a big fan of I was at the exact right age when metalcore became a big thing.
Hmm.
And yeah, I was like all those bands, like Killswitch Engage and Avenged Sevenfold when they first started and all that. Oh yeah, I love that stuff because it had hooks, but it was heavy. So I got to, you know, still wear black T-shirts and things like that. But I was like, but really, I mean, all it was just big poppy hooks. I mean, when I was around, you know, that 14, 15 age, and John Mayer came on the scene, and I fell in love with him. And I still love him. I'm not a fan of his personality sometimes, but I don't know if it's cool or not to like him yet. Like, I know we have to give it time.
I don't think he's cool yet. I think he's kind of bubbling. Well, I don't know, because he's been touring with Grateful Dead, but it hasn't been publicized, like, in a certain amount yet where we're like, oh, yeah, that's a really cool thing. It's like kind of like, oh, yeah, he's been doing that. It's cool, but I don't know. He's on the fence still.
See, that's it. I'm anticipating what his next move is because, I mean, it feels like we're kind of like, you know, everybody's like, oh, you like the guy who plays Your Body as a Wonder. I'm like, no, I like the guy who plays with Steve Jordan and Pino Palladino. Like, just, you know, I don't know. Eventually he will be cool. Like, I think people will look back and be like, whoa, you know, he was actually really good. But yeah, anyway, that whole, it's pop music, but there's a lot of, you know, he uses a lot of jazz chords and things like that, and you know, it's more intricate than it initially appears. I really like that type of music.
I think he's a musician. I mean, I think he's a great musician. I think he has a interesting reputation that kind of detracts from that. But I agree. I think he's a musician's musician in a way. So going back to metalcore, what did your parents think about you getting into that as a teenager?
Oh, my mom she wasn't listening to it, but she was totally cool with it. She knew that music was everything. Well, it still is. I mean, but at the time, it was just absolutely everything to me. So it never really bothered her. She knew I was, you know, she knew I was like a good kid, and it was all this, you know, and the black T-shirts and things like that. It's like, that's, you know, that's such a facade and all that stuff. It's like, yeah. But she knew that the music meant so much to me that she didn't care at all.
Did your dad feel the same way?
He just kind of ignored it. I mean, we'd still listen to Molly Hatchet and Thin Lizzy and all that stuff when we were together.
Yeah.
Like, with Mom, I had control of the radio, but with Dad, he had control of the radio. And, I mean, I was cool with that, cause, you know, that was, like I said, Thin Lizzy, Molly Hatchet, things like that. I was totally cool with that stuff. But
did you ever get into a band, or did you just kind of play by yourself before you got?
We're in a band. It was called Arcane Audio, actually.
Ooh.
And we are in my my high school senior year yearbook. We are in there from our talent show. And
aww.
Actually, I'm not in, like, the student listing. You know, they do all the headshots for all the kids. I'm not in there because I skipped school that day. but my band is, so.
That's kind of a cool accomplishment.
Kind of a cool thing to
hold
on to.
Yeah, no, it is. That's a, you know, that's the memory of, like, you know, I'm not, like, a mainstream student. Like, I'm known for my music, not for my education. Although it is important to be known for your education in a way because it does better your life. But
hey, I maintained a solid 3.5.
Oh, that's good. Oh, so you just skipped because you're like, okay, guys, I'm done. You know, it's getting towards the end of the year. Like, I'm a senior. I'm done. Whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. So you you did high school. What happened with college? Did you keep playing music when you were there, or did you go into the workforce? What happened?
I got a bachelor's degree from WVU,
cool.
Parkersburg.
Cool.
So I let's see, it was, I graduated in May of 2007, and in August of 2007, my now wife moved into a duplex with me, and we went to WVUP, and yeah, I got a bachelor's degree in information technology, so I'm an IT guy to pay the bills.
Did you want to be an IT guy when you were still like a black shirt wearing teenager?
It's, well, you know, I wouldn't say I wanted to be because I'm not a fan of that kind of cliche nerd type. You know, I'm a little too much of an extrovert for that. But, I knew computers better than basically everyone I was around. So, you know, I knew that would pay the bills better than playing guitar would. And so far it's working out really well.
Yeah. And that's something I've kind of talked about with folks, is just the divide between you being a West Virginia musician and then you being like a West Virginia professional or an employee of some branch, because in very rare cases are you able to actually pursue music as a full-time gig successfully. It seems like you just have to get the other job under your belt.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a really sweet setup. I work for a company that's based in D.C., so I get to work from home.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's a really sweet gig. And, I mean, you know, like I said, when I was 18, my now wife and I moved in together. I'm 27 now. You know, we bought a house and everything, and we're in the middle of North Parkersburg, and, you know, I have a three-year-old. And so, yeah, paying the bills is, as long as the music pays for itself, I'll do it forever. As long as I'm not actively losing money, you know? I think that would be kind of selfish.
Yeah. Well, especially, you're right, with a family now, and you're deeply seated in the Parkersburg area. Although it's nice, it definitely needs to help. I mean, that's you going out and doing, you know, going to Fayetteville for a show. Hopefully that'll bring some money back to your home, and you guys are able to live off that a little bit. But
right.
If it can't help out, then. Well, what's interesting is that you obviously, you know, you're raised in Parkersburg, college Parkersburg. Now you work in Parkersburg. You've chosen to stay in the area that you're, you know, you have roots in. Mm-hmm. Was there a reason for that? Did you ever feel like you weren't going to be in this position?
My senior year of college, Heather and I went to Pittsburgh. We stayed in Pittsburgh a lot, and that was kind of our concert destination. So we stayed in Pittsburgh a lot, and we actually went apartment hunting. At one point, we were totally committed. I was going to graduate, and we were going to Pittsburgh. Just, you know, I don't know what the attraction was to that specific city.
But, I like Pittsburgh. They have good food. They have good stuff. I like it.
I mean, I can't really name anything bad about Pittsburgh. I like everything about Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I mean, that was the goal. That was exactly what was going to happen. And then, February. I was supposed to graduate in May, and in February we found out that she was pregnant. So we kind of hit pause for a second. We're like, all right, let's reassess everything. And all of our family is, you know, like our immediate family is in Parkersburg, or, you know, the very near area. And there's no one in Pittsburgh for us. So it was more of a family decision, I guess, of, you know, how are we going to handle, how can I tell my mom, you know, you're going to be a grandma, oh, and we're moving 3 hours away. I can't do that in the same breath, you know. That, so we hit pause, and we started looking, and we found, hey, we could live in Parkersburg and just go ahead and buy a house, you know. And it worked out. And Heather's a nurse, and she went to school at WVUP as well. And she was able to go through that program, and she was able to get a job right away. So, I mean, it just worked out that it made the most sense to stay here and stay with our family.
What struggles have you experienced by still being in Parkersburg or still being in West Virginia?
The Parkersburg specifically, the, I don't know the right word to use, the local establishment, I guess, the man, you know, the government, they're not the most helpful in terms of the arts and the arts scene in this area. Parkersburg is a city that is heavily populated with the older generations, and they don't want us kids coming in and tearing up their nice things and all that. I get that vibe a lot of, you know, I try and introduce myself to people and they immediately see me and they see, you know, they might catch a glimpse of a tattoo and they see my long hair. They immediately assume the worst. And so there's been a few times where that's been really frustrating because, you know, people just make assumptions about you. And so that part has been really frustrating with Parkersburg specifically. But I mean, I know this is about West Virginia and all that, but that's where Marietta, Ohio came into play. I mean, their scene has been super helpful to me. And you can see West Virginia from some of the venues that I've played in Marietta. It's right across the river. And for some reason, that magical bridge across the river is just a different world of this music culture that's been really, they've really embraced me.
Well, that's just crazy that a bridge could make the difference in you wanting to continue making music, or are you just thinking, what's the point? Why bother? Why put up a fight? I'm just going to stop.
That's exactly it. I mean, it's been, if I just went off the reaction that I get in Parkersburg, I would have stopped immediately. I never would have bothered. There's not a lot of support right here. And it's really frustrating, especially like you said, over the last year, it's like I've been watching from afar of Huntington and Charleston and these, you know, awesome bands. And I just, it feels like I'm hundreds of miles away from that. Like it's a different world down there.
Well, it's crazy that you're 27, you know, you've been in Parkersburg most of your life, practically all of your life, mm-hmm. and you're, you know, upstanding citizen, you have a family you're taking care of, and you're playing music that, you know, I'm not going to say any other genre is, like, destructive, but you're playing music that's not going to cause people to, like, go on a rampage.
Right,
so
right.
For them to not accept you or not support you is just, that's crazy. Of all the people, then, in Parkersburg to support, you should be one of the artists to support there, that you're a hometown guy.
That's it. That's been my whole thing is, you know, I'm a hometown guy. You nailed it. I'm a hometown guy and I don't play offensive music. I mean, yeah, there are people who just don't like you. You know, maybe they just don't like your voice or something like that, but it's, you know, it's not in your face, you know, cursing everywhere and things like that. It's pretty laid back music.
Yeah.
So you think that I could get some support around here, but it's just been, honestly, it feels like other places have just, you know, have really taken off. But Parkersburg is just this, I haven't moved from square one in my own town.
But you found out about Marietta, Ohio. Was that in the last year or so, or when did you start making that that musical relationship over there?
I actually, from high school, from the time I was 18, I didn't play out at all for 8 years or so. And then April of last year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to an open mic. Of course, it was in Marietta, not in Parkersburg. And, yeah, I you know, met some really nice people up there. And April, I want to say it was April 28th of last year, was the first show, was my first open mic. And then April 29th of this year was my album release. So it really, I was really embraced by their scene up there.
What are the differences that you, beyond the acceptance? What do you see over in Marietta that you wish could come over to across the river to Parkersburg?
Number one is just the young people, really. I mean, it seems like everyone in Marietta, it's funny. And I don't want to sound like I'm talking down on my city, because I honestly do really love Parkersburg. I think it has a lot to offer if it would just be utilized properly. But it's funny. You could put Marietta versus Parkersburg as the liberal versus conservative towns. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it feels like, because you go to Marietta and everything is fresh and it's always clean and there's young people everywhere. And you go to Parkersburg and it's just kind of, there's not a whole lot. There's churches and there's houses and that's about it. There's, you know, our Parkersburg's downtown compared to Marietta's downtown is night and day. And I mean, I wish that Parkersburg would catch up. But I don't know. It feels like there are some people holding Parkersburg back. And it's not like I know who it is or anything. it just feels like there's a hold on Parkersburg that's stuck in the past. It won't let the new generation. It won't trust the new adults, the new young adults.
So right now with you, with the new record out, do you see yourself performing more in Parkersburg to promote it, or are you kind of moving around the state and into Marietta to kind of play the new jams?
I have shows booked through August right now, and one of them is in Parkersburg.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's I have to, I have to take off to promote it because there's no interest here. So it's frustrating, but I look at it as I go where there's demand, where there's a scene. So that's clearly not home, sadly.
Well, it sounds like even venues, like there's not really a lot of places in Parkersburg to play. Although, isn't there a People's Theater that they just kind of reopened?
It's in Marietta. It's in downtown Marietta.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought it was in Parkersburg. My bad.
Yep. I will say the very first real show I played was in Parkersburg. There's a small coffee shop called The Coffee Bar that's in downtown Parkersburg. Mm. And that was my very first show. I mean, and I love those people, but, it's in terms of actual music venues, you're stuck playing dive bars or coffee shops in Parkersburg.
Now, there has to be some positive moving force, though, to the area. Like, is there someone or some media organization, like, trying to help bring up Parkersburg?
Culture Movies. Probably the best thing that I have stumbled upon in my musical endeavors.
And they're the kind of online media, almost journal that covers news and music and events in and around the Mid-Ohio Valley. Yeah.
Right. All of the people at Clutch have been really, really nice to me. And actually, I ended up joining as a contributor a couple months ago. I just love what they're doing because it's a lot of people in the same situation as me. And, we see that this area has a lot to offer and there are people in this area that are trying to, they have some sort of creative outlet and they'd like to make something out of it. And Yeah, I mean, Clutch MOV is by far the most encouraging thing I've seen out of the Parkersburg area in my adult life. It's really exciting. They're growing at an incredible rate, and they have these beautiful print magazines they make that they do them twice a year, and they're almost like coffee table books. They're really, really nice, and there's a lot of beautiful photography and things like that in them. And they focus on local people that are, you know, doing different, there's a guy who I'm supposed to interview that has, like, he hand makes all these leather things, and he has a shop, and just things like that of, like, you know, there's guys who do custom poster prints and things like that, and there are a lot of people in this area that are trying to make a living out of their creative outlet, and Clutch tries to kind of focus on that.
I'm an open book, if they want to know more. I've been played a fool for the last time. Burn that bridge, drew that line.
You do have a new record out, and it is great, and hopefully that also elevates everyone else's perceptions of the area. So a new record out, you know, it's titled Only Questions. Can you talk a little bit about how the release came to be?
Well, let's see. Like I said, April of last year, I finally had enough and went out and started playing some open mics, trying to meet some like-minded people. And I started to, you know, build some meaningful relationships pretty quickly with other musicians. And I released, I immediately found that if you don't have material, no one will book you, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I really quickly decided to record an EP, and it was done over like 2 weeks. I just recorded in my house really quickly, and it certainly wasn't the best. It didn't sound like it came out of a studio in LA by any means, but it was enough to get the point across, and that helped me get some gigs and meet some more people. And things kept moving at a somewhat scary pace, honestly. It picked up faster than I ever thought it would, and I had all these songs that I was playing, you know, I was playing them all the time, but they weren't recorded yet. So I sat down over the winter and I didn't write anything towards the end of the year, but all the songs had been written. First song on the album, Days, that song's 7 or 8 years old now. I've had some of these for a long time, and I've just been playing with them, you know, sitting around my house. But some of them I wrote last year after starting to play out, and I really wanted to put them together and record it all properly. And started recording end of December, early January, and then I had 15 songs, and I ended up cutting a few, and I just recorded it. I recorded it on my own, and it's not like I have millions of dollars worth of equipment. I just used the equipment that I've acquired over the, you know, last 12 years or so of being a part of the workforce, and threw together the album. And I talked to a friend of mine about helping me with some album art, and she jumped on it. And I think the album art is probably the coolest thing that I'll ever be involved in. I can't believe that's my face on the cover, honestly.
Was that Liv Hefner that helped with that?
Liv Hefner. And that relationship was established. Well, apparently we went to high school together, but I don't, neither of us, you know, we kind of figured out like, oh, you went to PHS too. But I found her through Clutch. So, and she's been really helpful with everything, and she makes me look professional and all that. So, it came together really, really quickly. Once the recording process started, I mean, it's not like there's anything good happening in January or February anyway. So
yeah, that's true. Just a lot of snow
stuck
or
inside,
fall.
Might as well record. That was my thought process.
Well, the photography, it's not a make it or break it sort of thing when it comes to booking bands. But the photography that she did for you, it's really nice. So it does help. Looking at the photos, the ones you sent me for this interview, really nice. Really good stuff. It's clear that she knows how to really frame a picture and make it seem like it's coming to life. And you actually look like a person who's, you know, a musician that does enjoy what you're doing in like a West Virginia setting. So I like it. She did, kudos to her for doing it. Is there like a network of Parkersburg musicians or in that area that you're able to like get in contact with and kind of talk about strategies for promoting or playing music?
We actually, that's funny you mentioned that. We've got a small thing going right now that we're calling Rivertown Revival, which is a reference to, of course, Marietta, Ohio. But I'm the only Parkersburg guy on it, but we're all from the area, the Ohio Valley, and we're playing as many shows together as we can. But it's there's a few of us. It's me. There's a band, Hayfield and Crow, Jake Dunn and the Blackbirds, and Levi Westfall, and we feel like. It was almost born of frustration of, you know, we'll give you four solid hours of original material. No one will leave unhappy. Just let us in the door. So we've been trying to push Rivertown Revival, and we've got a few lined up. We're doing Athens, Ohio, Pomeroy, Ohio. And we'll be in Marietta next month. So, yeah, I mean, we're trying to, you know, it's been a frustrating process. If you go out by yourself, it's kind of frustrating sometimes. Like, you just can't get anyone to pay attention to you. But if you put four acts together who genuinely enjoy what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that kind of, surely one of us will catch your eye or your ear, you know, one of those. So that's kind of been our strategy for this incredibly difficult area.
Well, that's what I've noticed with the Huntington music scene, which is probably the strongest one right now in West Virginia, is that there are so many different bands there, but they have this support system in place where if, you know, one band is performing, they'll probably bring in another Huntington band or a second Huntington band who they're friends with. They'll go to each other's concerts or shows or festivals, and the audience, just each time I see them, it keeps growing and growing, not just of the bands performing, but of the people who are following these bands everywhere. And I think that really does help, just having a little network of like-minded and area-specific musicians along with you for the ride.
And that's kind of what we have going on up here. It's just on a much newer and smaller scale. I mean, I, like, of course, you know, Ona and Horse Traders and bands like that. It's like, I mean, my wife and I actively listen. We seriously listen to American Fiction in the car just for fun. Like, I mean, we're really
Ona's newest release. Yeah.
Groups.
Yeah. No, it's really good music.
Yeah. I mean, it has, I honestly would listen to a band like Ona no matter where they're from. Like, it's awesome that they're from Huntington. You know, that's incredible. You might slip into the V Club and see them. But I mean that the location didn't draw me to them. It was their sound, you know, and that's what I'd like to get out of the Mid-Ohio Valley, too. It doesn't matter where we come from, just that, you know, it's good music. But actually, Tyler Childers, he's from Kentucky, isn't he?
He is, technically. He's considered the red-headed stepson of Huntington music scene.
See, there you go. So, and again, Marietta, Ohio, a few months ago, I got to play before Tyler at a show, and I got to talk to him, and he was so incredibly kind to me, and that was kind of my first step into the Huntington scene, and he was really nice to me, and he named some people that I should talk to, and there was like, I know you know Ian.
Of course, yeah, Ian Thornton, who's kind of Tyler Childers' best friend / manager, promoter.
Yeah, and it was so funny because Tyler and I, we kind of snuck off backstage and we were talking, and he said, my buddy Ian, you know, and actually JJ.
JJ Waters.
That's it, JJ Waters, yeah. You know, and all these people have been really nice to me, and I can't remember his name.
I'm going to guess it's like Bud Carroll, Max Nolte.
Bud Carroll. Actually, yep. It's funny, Bud Carroll. I'm going to message him eventually. I hope he hears this because I'm going to message him eventually. Because Bud Carroll was an American Minor, right?
Uh-huh, he was.
American Minor was my first sneaking into a club show. They opened for Shooter Jennings in Athens, Ohio. And it was a 21-plus show, and I was 16, and my mom snuck me in. So I got to see American Minor front row, and it was like, so I immediately put them in this rock star category. And actually, I can't remember who it was, but one of them signed the CD, because, of course, I bought their CD and all that stuff while I was there. And so I cannot remember which guy signed the album. But, I mean, I put American Minor in this rock star thing, and I learned a few of their songs playing along with the CD.
Aww.
And so, yeah, I mean, guys like Bud Carroll, like, the thought of him ever hearing anything I do, it's unfathomable to me.
And, you know, the funny thing is he's the nicest, most down-to-earth guy who is – incredible at what he does in producing and making music. It's and the nicest guy. So, you know, he's kind of soft-spoken but totally chill. So if you were to tell him that, he'd probably be totally flattered and you know, maybe give
That's
you some
it.
Advice
like,
on that.
Am I creepy?
No.
Nah.
He's had creepers. You're not a creeper. No, that's really sweet. I love that little connection. Well, I'm glad you're able to connect with Tyler. I think he's really one of the ones that's kind of making a name for himself, but doing
really
it in a way
is.
That's not that, stepping on anyone and you just
yeah,
doing it naturally.
Yeah, that was my introduction to these guys that I've been watching from afar and, you know, really admiring. And I guess I don't put myself on their level, you know. That's like the next step of this whole process. Like, I want to get to the level that Tyler's at, that Ona is at, you know. American Minor was... I mean, like I said, American Minor was truly one of the biggest rock bands to me. I could not believe once I figured out, you know, the connection from Tyler to Ian to Bud Carroll to all, you know, to you, this whole thing of just, and I mean, that's what I've told you before. Mountain Stage is the top of the mountain to me. Like, that's what I truly want, because to see a band like Dawes, my favorite band in the world, come through Charleston and just hang out on the Capitol grounds like that. Just that's incredible. That's so cool that something like that can happen in West Virginia. That's the ultimate dream to me, really.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, what, you know, 10 years from now, what do you hope to accomplish? What's the one thing on your musical things to do list that you want to make sure you check off?
Mountain Stage, definitely. I want a picture of me. I want to see a picture of me standing at the Culture Center with you and Larry Gross playing the finale song. That's what I want to see.
I mean,
if that happens, I'm going to blow it up. I'm going to frame it. And I'm going to say, that's it. That's what I did. Well, I'm going to point to my son, too, and be like, I did that, too. I made that, but I also made this music thing too. I really like what guys like Todd Burge, because actually Todd Burge lives like a few blocks from me.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I found out that I was on a run last year, and I saw him, and I figured out that he lived right there. So yeah, he lives a few blocks away. But I really like what Todd's done. I mean, he's been really friendly, and really helpful. He gives me advice anytime I ask for it.
Oh, good.
So that, I mean, yeah, guys like that. I've been so surprised. No one has been outright rude to me. Like, I'm a nobody to these people. You know, I mean, just starting out, and they've been so nice. Everybody's been so nice. So that's a really positive thing about the West Virginia music scene.
What's your advice for anyone who is wanting to start making music right now in West Virginia?
Well, for me, it was stop worrying about what people will say, because there's always going to be someone who doesn't like you, who doesn't like your music, things like that. And that's what held me back as I became an adult. I just was so afraid of people's judgment. And, you know, as a guy who has, let's see, well, I've lost 100 pounds. I've bought a house. I've had a kid. I've started playing music. Then, and that's all in the last 5 years. I'm scared to death of change, you know? So, I mean, change is going to happen no matter what. And I think it's best to just not worry about what other people will think, because if people see that you are, if you're really pouring your heart into what you're doing, people will appreciate it. And there will always be people who will say bad things, but it gets easier to ignore them once you figure out that other people, the people that matter, really enjoy what you're doing.
Corey Shields' new release is Only Questions. Check out his music, see where he's playing next on CoreyShieldsMusic.com. Hear more hashtag WV Music on A Change of Tune, airing Saturday nights at 10 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And for more West Virginia music chats, make sure to go to wvpublic.org/WV Music. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.